Welcome to another episode of Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney. I'm going to be with you for the next half an hour talking to Alex Saunders, aka Justin Too Deep. And we're going to be talking about drag culture and all kinds of different things. So stick around. You're listening to Queer Radio on local 107.3 FM. And welcome to Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney. Thanks so much for joining me again this holiday Monday. And I have a great show in store for you today. I'm going to be doing an interview with Alex Saunders, a.k.a. Justin Too Deep. And she is a local St. John drag king performer. And we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of different things related to drag culture. And I have to be honest, before I started to do this show, I didn't actually know a lot about drag culture beyond what, you know, most people think about, which is RuPaul and Drag Race on the television. And I knew that drag performances took place at various times throughout the year, and especially with pride events and things like that. But it's kind of a new territory for me, and I approached it with a bit of trepidness. I wasn't quite sure how I felt about drag culture as a trans person, but I've really had my mind opened over the last week doing some research for today's interview and actually sitting down with Alex and talking about their involvement with the drag community and what drag culture means in our society and in our LGBTQ+ community. And I was pleasantly surprised, and I had my eyes opened. And so we're going to be talking to Alex Saunders. And we start off the interview. It's going to be a three-part interview. So today is part one. And we sort of talk about the humble beginnings of Justin Too Deep and Alex's introduction to drag culture. And we talk a little bit about the St. John community with respect to drag and LGBTQ+ issues. And then in part two and three, we get a little deeper into just different people that operate within the drag community and its relationship to LGBTQ+ people, and specifically with respect to trans people, and some of the issues that are involved there. So I hope you'll stick around, and I hope you're enjoying your holiday Monday. And later on in the show, of course, I'll be doing my usual queer resources, and I will be giving you 800 numbers and email addresses and different resources for you in the community if you are out there listening and identifying as LGBTQ+, and you're looking for some help or some support. I'm going to give you some information that you can use to get that help. And I highly encourage you to reach out to some of these groups if you are, in fact, in need of help. Hats off to Mac McKenzie and Fred and everybody who was involved in the Rainbow Peace March last Tuesday as part of the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. We had an amazing turnout, an amazing ceremony. We had some amazing music from Gloria Halverson, and it was just a really beautiful evening. And so I want to give a big shout out to everybody. And to the kids who helped me carry the radio station banner in the parade, And I think your names were Samantha and Lily. I hope I'm getting that right. If I'm not, you can message me on Facebook. KWIR is the name of my page. But it was amazing to see so many youth and so many different people there and community leaders, and for Aid St. John to get the PFLAG award for their outstanding work in the LGBTQ plus community. Yeah, it was just amazing. So without further ado, we are going to head over and have part one of a three-part conversation with Alex Saunders, a.k.a. Justin Too Deep, and I will be back shortly. Welcome to Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney. Thanks for joining us today. I'm joined today by Alex Saunders. How are you, Alex?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good. Did you want to start off our show today by telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm 30 years old. I am native to St. John, New Brunswick. I am a computer programmer at a company, a local company called Intellisys Aviation. We actually have software that we sell to airlines to book flights. Okay. I'm a cosplayer. I'm a nerd. I'm many things, more of which you'll hear about in this interview.
Cool. So I guess we can segue right into drag culture. And you're a drag king, correct?
Yes.
Now, I've got to be honest, I'm not really, really familiar with drag culture. I just know kind of like RuPaul is basically what I know. But I'm really interested in knowing more about it. I'm wondering if you can tell our listeners a bit about drag culture and like for people who are unfamiliar with what it's all about.
So drag culture can best be described as a performance art, which I guess kind of makes poignant points about blurring the lines between gender. It's very much a political statement on gender and how gender is a very fluid thing. It's also super duper fun, so if you've never tried it, I would recommend it to anyone. But that kind of sums up drag culture. So most people know RuPaul as kind of a starting point, who started out in like the 90s, I guess, was when she really hit her big kind of fame point and really came out in the mainstream. But I don't know, she's always spent a lot of time just kind of blurring those lines. And that's something that myself, as well as other performers that I know, like to do. There's two kinds of drag. Well, there's many kinds of drag performers, but I guess the main two would be drag queens, which is when men, or sometimes bio queens. So this is a new thing where cisgendered females will do the same kind of drag as cisgendered males, transforming into a woman, or kind of an exaggeration of a woman. And then there's the opposite of that, where females, now I've never heard of a, I guess, bio king.
Okay.
But drag king is where, I guess, a cisgendered woman would dress up as the opposite and perform as a male.
Okay.
So.
Now, is that the same as a faux queen? I was reading about that the other day.
No, faux queens are women who dress up as women.
Okay.
Or exaggerate the features. So I've kind of been, I've been having an existential crisis with my persona, because it seems that drag queens get to have a lot more fun with it. Like there's no, there can be, but there's generally not a lot of glamour in dressing up as a man. It's very more about switching your body to anyway. But you know, drag queens get the sequins and they get the butt pads get the, so they'll glue down their eyebrows. So they'll basically do everything that a regular drag queen does, except they don't have to tuck. And they, in most cases, already have boobs. Some of them don't, but then they just put more in.
Right. Well, as you were saying that, I was thinking it's interesting as a trans woman that I realize when I got more into my transition that I realized that men's clothes are so boring.
They really are.
And women can like just be really like flashy and crazy and super colorful. And it's exciting for me to be able to experience that, although I get a lot of complaints about wearing too much black, but
being dressed in all black today myself, I get the same thing. It's very, we're very fortunate as women to be like with a lot of, I guess, animals, because technically human beings are, I suppose, fall within the spectrum of animals that live on this planet. A lot of the times the males are the flashy ones. So like peacocks, for example, the males are the pretty ones with all the feathers and everything. And then the peahen is like brown and white.
Okay, I didn't know
but,
that.
As human beings, we're very fortunate that the female or just women of our culture get to be the big flashy, I guess, peacocks of humanity. So they're lucky in that sense. But there's a lot of kings that will, like, for example, one of my, I guess, idols, you could say, for drag kings, Land Insider. He's a drag king in California. And he has been getting into very much the fabulous side of drag kinging. So a lot of what he does is extreme makeup with all different colors and things like that, as opposed to just contouring to look male.
Wow, it's so fascinating. Like I don't know, I like I said a few minutes ago, I don't really know a lot about drag culture, but just even investigating it in the last couple of days preparing for this interview, I've just come to realize it's a kind of a very exciting world. There's so much variety, and I guess we'll touch on that in a few minutes. But so your drag king, or sorry, I wanted to ask you about what initially made you want to get involved in drag culture.
Oh, I was part of the RuPaul's Drag Race baby boom of 2009. So my first performance that I ever did was one number at Impulse. It was when the gay bar was on Charlotte Street.
Okay.
Whatever name it was there, because we had like four different ones in the span of a couple of years there for a while. So I can't remember exactly which one it is. But I think it's Impulse. And I did one number, and it was Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake. And it was very, very rough. I didn't do very much contouring. I just kind of like cut up hair and stuck it on as like a goatee. And then I put my hair, I like no wig. I just put my hair up in a fedora, and then I like got duct tape, and I like taped the old boobs down, and you know, bought a jacket. I actually think at the time I borrowed a friend's jacket with like shoulder pads in it, and it was all very rough. But I had always been interested in drag culture, and even like growing up, my mom would play RuPaul when she was cleaning the house. And so my mom is the type of person that she'll give you one nickname, and then like 28 iterations of that same nickname with slightly different pronunciations later, you get one nickname. And so supermodel goes work it girl, which to my mom sounded like work it whirl. So she would call me whirl for a while based off of that RuPaul song. And my mom was actually my introduction into the drag culture way back when I was just a little baby. But then I saw the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I saw these fabulous people that would just completely transform themselves. And I remember seeing specifically Chanel. All these people are on Facebook, so if you get interested about a queen, just type her in a Facebook and you'll get pictures, just for the audience. But there is Chanel, who is this very out of drag, like masculine looking man, and then he transforms into a queen, and he's got like a way better ass than most women I know, myself included. Like, just, does ass count as a swear word?
I think we can let that one go.
Okay, okay. Yeah. We are on Canadian radio, so it's, as long as I don't drop any F-bombs, we'll be okay. But just this perfect kind of transformation into this completely feminine, not at all like the masculine person. And I was just so amazed with that. And it all had to do with makeup and things that, like, I was very much, I guess what you would call a tomboy when I was younger. So I didn't really even put makeup on my face until I was 25, maybe a couple of times for like prom or something where someone did it for me. But all of a sudden I was obsessed with this kind of like makeup and costumes. And I've always been a big fan of Halloween. So I felt like it was a natural kind of like progression of interests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
But yeah, all the lot that I didn't really think about it, but when RuPaul's Drag Race came out, like it was basically a baby boom for, you know, baby drag performers.
Right. Okay, great. So your stage name is Justin Too Deep.
Yes.
And you've told me that this persona is an amalgam of several celebrities, including Andy Samberg, Seth MacFarlane, and Richard Cheese, among others. I'm just wondering what traits you take from those different people to incorporate into your act.
Oh, I'm not a serious king. So there's like comedy kings and serious kings and like impersonation kings and many different, I guess, kinds, I suppose you could say. I like to be funny. I've always had a passion for comedy, but I can never sit down and write a comedy routine. Mm-hmm. But I can think of, I don't know, I've always been into musical theater as well, but okay. I can think of these fabulous performances related on like, different. So for example, I've been having a bit of an existential crisis and kind of thinking about doing the faux queen thing. And the other day I was thinking about a song called Body Parts by a queen called Courtney Act. She's from Australia. And she's talking, it's a very sexy song. But I thought, what if you took that song and it was body parts, as in she wanted to like, here we go, dismember you,
right?
And it would just be kind of like a Halloween horror themed really cool number to do. So that's I kind of try to bring that to the stage, and I'm very much about making people laugh. I'm very much about like a lot of the men in my life have always been super funny and very awkward and very like I'm a nerd. I like to be Justin's kind of like, God, he's like every gross man that I've ever met. Every man that has ever sent me like a creepy PM on a social networking site, combined with all of these really funny role models that I have that I wish I could be like, because I don't really have a lot of female role models. I mean, I guess my mom counts. Yes. But as far as like celebrity role models, like I don't care about the Kardashians. They can do their own thing. All right. of those people are awful. And don't write in with your angry letters about me hating the Kardashians. I'm not the only one, audience.
I don't think you are.
Anyway, so I don't look up to those women. I look up to a lot of men, and I'm not sure why. It's just a happy coincidence. I find that as far as comedy is concerned, I'm just more like, I guess, inspired by the male comedians of the world. Like Kathy Griffin is great. I love her, don't get me wrong, but I don't go, I want to be like Kathy Griffin when I grow up. I'm more like, I want to be like Richard Cheese when I grow up and sing about gross stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I don't know, that's where my personality took me, I guess.
Interesting. So if we dig a little deeper into the actual performance, I'm wondering what some of the tools or techniques that drag kings use in order to appear more masculine, and is that necessarily the most important thing in drag king performances? Like, I guess what I'm saying or asking is, am I making assumptions that all drag kings want to be hyper masculine?
Not necessarily. There's with drag, there's a broad spectrum. You can get everything. And the one type of drag I didn't mention is, oh, I can't swear, gender F drag, which is kind of like halfway between a drag queen and a drag king. And you're not really actually sure what they're trying to portray. It's just kind of like, here, that look at my mystery enigma persona, which is very a very neat thing to do either way, whether you're, you know, doesn't matter who you are, but anyway. So a lot of the techniques I use personally, I contour my face, I contour on an Adam's apple bump. Some drag kings, most drag kings bind. Some are fortunate enough to not have the chest to need to bind.
Right.
I need to bind. Some of them will use duct tape and tape them like back under your armpits. Others will, I use a shirt that's for a condition called gynecomastia, which is the clinical term for man boobs.
Yeah.
So that's personally what I use. I also have a packer. There were three sizes of packers. They were all $14.95, and I figured if I was gonna pay $14.95 for something, I would get the most amount of inches
just
that I
go
could.
For the gusto.
So I have a 6-inch soft packer that I use, which I don't regret, but also do regret. I actually, the bigger it is, the more it influences your walk. Men walk with their legs apart.
Right.
Women's thighs, unless you're fortunate enough to have that crazy thigh gap touch. Not all performers use all of those techniques. Some will actually, like, I have a lot of hips, so I will pad my waist and take away that hip-to-waist ratio as well sometimes. So it really just depends on, like, what level you want. But, for example, I don't use, a lot of kings will, like, mince up or, like, cut up, like, fake facial hair, like theatrical facial hair, in a very, and then they'll stick it all over their face. And I did that for a few years, but I just, I hate it. I hate the way it feels on my face. It makes me uncomfortable. And at this point in time in, I guess, my drag career, I can't be bothered with feeling that uncomfortable. So I do a lot of, like, single stroke drawing on my beard and mustache and all that sort of stuff.
That must take a long time, Or you get proficient at it after a while.
You get proficient at it after a while. But it still takes me like an hour and a half to 2 hours to get ready. Just for top to bottom.
Right.
Sometimes I'll use wigs. Right now I'm rocking the mohawk like shave sides thing.
Right.
So I don't have to wear any wigs, but you can if you want to. And yeah, I think I've talked myself out. I don't remember.
Are there a lot of like... like I'm thinking about like Elvis or like these kinds of pop culture characters. Like, are there a lot of drag kings who do similar acts, or is it more like what you do, where it's like an amalgam of different personalities, or like
some people do impersonation. Land Insider is a good example. It does a lot of impersonation. Recently, he's been going around doing a Donald Trump number, which gets a lot of boos, understandably. And sometimes he'll do, like, Pitbull. Sometimes he'll do... I'm just trying to think of other things I've seen him as. But everybody, for the most part, there's not a lot of impersonation. Everybody kind of has their own style. And you kind of build that and discover this kind of new person within yourself that you kind of have to build from the ground up. It's like... how do I put it? It's like having... it's like having another personality that you have to shape and grow as you go along.
And that was part one of a three-part interview that I'm going to be doing with Alex Saunders, a.k.a. Justin Too Deep. And Alex is a drag performer here in St. John, New Brunswick, and also performs in various places, I guess, around the Maritimes, or has. And so I want to say thank you, Alex, if you're out there listening, for... that portion of the three-part interview. And we actually ended up talking for close to an hour about drag culture. And so in that case, where my show is only a 30-minute long program, I'm being put into a position where I have to split that up over a couple of different episodes. But fear not, for next Monday at 2 to 2:30 p.m. Queer Radio will be right back here again one more time, and we will have part two of the three-part interview with Alex Saunders, aka Justin Too Deep. And it was a very fascinating conversation, and I learned lots. And I hope you will join me again next Monday. I'm not saying goodbye yet, but I'm just saying I hope you will join me again next Monday for the second part of the interview, because I think in the second and third part, you're going to see that we get a little further into drag culture. We talk about some words that are considered derogatory and some words that are considered problematic with relation to things that some people in drag culture have used in the LGBTQ plus sphere of folks, if you will. And so we're going to get a bit more into that, and we're going to be talking about Alex's involvement in general in the LGBT community, as well as how to book her for a performance. And in the very last installation, the third part, we're going to be hearing a request, which Alex was so nice to provide. Now, every week on Queer Radio, I give out a list of phone numbers, email addresses, websites, etc., for people who are out there who are listening, who are identifying as LGBTQ+, and who are in need of help or assistance, or would like to attend support groups in our community here in St. John. And so I'm going to provide some of those for you right now. So if you are identify as transgender and you need help, or you're feeling suicidal or anything along those lines, you please call the Trans Lifeline. It's 877-330-6366. That number again is 877-330-6366. For LGBTQ plus people in general, you can contact the PFLAG main phone number, which is 888-530-6777, extension 555. If you are LGBTQ plus and you speak French and you would like some support in French, you can also call the PFLAG French hotline, which is 888-530-6483. There is a PFLAG gender identity support hotline that is 888-530-6777, extension 226. And you can also email them at gender@pflag.ca. That's spelled P-F-L-A-G Canada.ca. And the turnaround time for sending an email and getting a response is about 24 hours. So if you are feeling that it is a little bit more urgent than that, then you should call the Trans Lifeline, which I mentioned a minute ago. If it's not urgent and you just want some general help, you can definitely email them. The PFLAG website in general is www.pflag.ca. That's spelled PFLAG.ca. The UBU Transgender Support Group is the third Friday of every month at the Coburg Health Center. And that's located on Coburg Street. It's right near the St. Joseph's Hospital. So it's the building kind of set back in where the parking lot is on Coburg Street. So if you're transgender or transgender friend, family, or ally, you can attend that meeting. It's open to all those folks. PFLAG St. John chapter meets the first Friday of each month, except for July and August. So the June meeting will be the last meeting for this year, for this spring, I guess you could say, and then it will return in the first Friday in September. There's another, it's called a Pride Line. It's from a place called Durham, which is in Ontario, and they also have an LGBTQ plus Pride Line, which is 855-877-7433. And if you call outside of Pride Line's hours, you can also contact the Distress Center Durham 24-hour helpline, which is 905-430-2522 or 1-800-452-0688. And the Durham LGBTQ plus Pride Line helps people who are questioning or confused about their sexual identity or orientation, are experiencing trouble or suicidal thoughts, experiencing bullying or isolation, risk of homelessness, experiencing problems at work, things along those lines. So if you need help, please reach out. And thank you again for joining me on Queer Radio. I'll be back again next Monday from 2 to 2:30 right here on Local 107.3 FM. And if you need those phone numbers again, you can message me on my Queer Facebook page, KWIR. Take good care, everyone. I'll talk to you again soon. This is Stephanie Tierney saying bye.